From Storyflow Tech, the week's top 10 June 5th. The Storyflow Daily Brief for June 5th. Here are this week's top 10 tech stories. We are running a curated backlog catch-up, so today's tech show has the same shape as the rest of the daily lineup. First, from Storyflow Tech, the day's top 10 June 4th. A breezy summer checklist kicks off the brief, urging readers to blend community, creativity, and outdoor fun. Volunteering at shelters, libraries, or beach cleanups is highlighted as a rewarding way to start the season, followed by hands-on ideas like homemade pizza nights, tie-dye shirts, scrapbooking, or film camera photography. The piece also suggests hunting for new coffee spots, mixing refreshing citrus-based drinks with optional spirits, and visiting local art exhibitions. For nature lovers, easy hikes in national parks and simple pleasures such as breakfast on a terrace, picnics by a lake, or sunset dinners are recommended, with a nod to the classic summer blockbuster as a group activity. The design-focused side salad from D-Line delivers a rapid roundup of industry quirks. It notes a playful yet odd PDX scary movie edition, the rising demand for smut branding, and Koto's thoughtful installation for the Norton Museum that weaves the collection into its design. A tongue-in-cheek comment on climate change data, a reminder that Schweppes is the world's oldest soft drink brand, and a personal anecdote about hanging a cutout Rothko in a dorm room add humor. The newsletter also mentions the whimsical return of Fudgy the Whale ice cream cakes, a dismissal of McDonald's chicken wings, and a light-hearted take on reading the Odyssey with endless feasts. A second D-Line note reflects on cultural fatigue. Sherwin-Williams labels a muted green as the loneliest color of the year, while the writer critiques the fitness-obsessed protein culture that turns everyday foods into supplements. The piece links. Second, from Rich on Tech, how one California couple turned old electronics into a thriving eBay business. A California couple has turned old electronics into a thriving eBay business. They operate eWaste Direct, a company that has spent nearly two decades finding new life for old laptops, phones, and gadgets. The company refurbishes and resells thousands of tech items and parts that might otherwise end up in a landfill. The couple's eBay storefront, Angie's Green Go Surplus, is where they sell the refurbished items. This business model has proven to be successful, allowing them to give new life to old electronics and reduce electronic waste. By doing so, they are also providing affordable options for people looking for refurbished tech items. The company's success can be attributed to the growing demand for refurbished electronics and the need to reduce electronic waste. Many people are now looking for more sustainable options when it comes to buying electronics, and the couple's business is catering to this demand. By refurbishing and reselling old electronics, they are helping to reduce the amount of waste that ends up in landfills. The couple's business is not only good for the environment, but it is also a successful entrepreneurial venture. They have been able to turn their passion for reducing electronic waste into a thriving business, and their eBay storefront has become a go-to destination for people looking for refurbished tech items. The company's success is an example of how innovative thinking and a commitment to sustainability can lead to a successful business model. Third, from Rich on Tech, this Disney Plus scam wants way more than your credit card number. A fake Disney Plus billing email looks authentic, using the brand's logo and a professional-looking website to convince recipients that a payment failed and they need to update their account. The scam doesn't stop at a simple phishing link. It guides victims through a step-by-step data collection process that starts innocently and becomes increasingly invasive. First, the site asks for the user's email address, then the password, giving scammers either direct access to the Disney Plus account or credentials that can be tried on other services. After confirming a payment problem, it requests full credit card details, number, expiration date, security code, and billing address, just as a legitimate billing update would. The next stage asks for personal identifiers such as home address, phone number, and date of birth, which are unnecessary for a subscription renewal. The final, most alarming request is for a social security number and mother's maiden name, data typically used for identity verification and recovery, indicating the scammers aim to harvest enough information for full identity theft. The key takeaway is to treat any urgent-sounding email with suspicion. Verify the sender, avoid clicking links, and instead navigate to the official Disney Plus site or app directly. By slowing down and confirming legitimacy, users can prevent the cascade of personal data that this multi-stage scam is designed to extract. Fourth, from No Desk. No Desk, issue #422. Remote Customer Support Associate at JAK Remote Hotel and Resort, Coordinator at My Travel Connection, Remote Hiring Remote Psychics and Tarot Readers at The Psychics Connection Inc., Remote Manager Operations at Vino W for Girls Inc., Remote US Client Support Specialist Workplaces B2B at C, Lipboard Health Remote Philippines, Create a Flexible Remote Income Stream, Work Anywhere at Inspiring Lives Today Remote, Australia, Canada, US, UK, Europe Inside Sales Manager at Mr. Glazier Remote, Worldwide IR Analyst at Peroptix Remote, Canada Customer Onboarding and Support Specialist Remote, UK/Europe at Gymflow Remote, Europe, UK Professional Design Expert at Merkur Remote, US, UK, Canada Generalist Expert at Merkur Remote, US, UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand WFH Travel Planner at Caribbean and Cruise Experience Remote, North America, South America, UK, US Senior MS Power Platform Developer at Proxify Remote, Worldwide Senior SharePoint Developer at Proxify Remote, Worldwide Senior iOS Developer at Proxify Remote, Worldwide Senior or Mobile Developer Android/Flutter at Proxify Remote, Worldwide Senior QA Automation Engineer Playwright at Proxify Remote, Worldwide Senior Full Stack Developer Python at Proxify Remote, Worldwide Senior Backend Developer Python at Proxify Remote, Worldwide Senior Frontend Dev, Developer React.js/Next.js at Proxify Remote, Worldwide Senior Frontend Developer Angular.js/React.js at Proxify Remote, Worldwide Senior AI Engineer Backend Focused at Proxify Remote, Worldwide Python SWE at Merkur Remote, Canada, Europe, UK, US Sales Manager at Merkur Remote, Canada, UK, US High Paying Hourly Enrollment Specialist at VP Education Group Remote, Worldwide Bilingual French Generalist Evaluator Expert at Merkur Remote, Canada, Belgium, Switzerland, France, WFH Hotel Coordinator at Caribbean and Cruise Experience Remote, North America, South America, UK, US Franchise Sales Manager, US Market at Sportica Labs Remote, Worldwide RM Delivery and Client Manager at Media Removal Remote, Worldwide Senior Full Stack Developer at Lemon.io Remote, Americas, Europe, Oceania, Asia WFH Entry-Level Hotel Coordinator at Caribbean and Cruise Experience Remote, US Digital Marketing and Client Engagement Partner Remote at Following Your Heart Remote, Australia, Europe, US, Canada, UK Bilingual Spanish Generalist Evaluator Expert at Merkur Remote, Spain, Mexico, US, Chile. No Desk is a read-supported newsletter, a weekly newsletter with the best new remote jobs, stories and ideas from the remote work community, and occasional offbeat pieces to feed your curiosity. 100,000 thousands of people each year trust No Desk to help them find a remote job. Fifth, from Artificial Corner, 7 amazing things Claude can do that ChatGPT can't. ChatGPT chats. Claude works. That sounds like a small difference. It's not. I used ChatGPT for almost everything in 2023 and 2024. It answered my questions, wrote my drafts, helped me think out loud. But every output stayed stuck inside the chat. I still had to copy, paste, format, and do the actual work myself. Then I started using Claude Cowork, not the chatbot, the version that lives on your desktop and acts on your computer. It doesn't just tell you what to do. It does it, organizes your files, builds your slides, runs tasks while you sleep, and connects to the tools you already use. I've spent months testing the features ChatGPT simply can't match. Here are 7 amazing things Claude can do that ChatGPT can't. Did you know I have a free Claude course? If not, follow me on Instagram or LinkedIn, DLM course, and I'll send you the link. I post daily AI and Claude infographics over there every week. I publish new Claude guides, some paid, some free, like this one. You type something, get an answer, start over. Claude Cowork works differently. It's built for doing tasks, organizing files, creating on-brand content slides, reports, infographics, etc., and almost anything that can be done on your computer. You're actually giving AI a job. If you're new to Claude Cowork, download Claude for desktop, install it, and open the app. Claude Cowork can review files, follow instructions, keep your project context in mind, generate real deliverables, and handle processes that would be a nightmare to do manually. ChatGPT chats. Cowork gets things done. In the video below, Claude Cowork takes a messy folder of receipts and turns it into an organized system, category folders, and a summary spreadsheet. We'll see many features exclusive to Claude Cowork in the following points. A prompt can solve a task once. When you do the same task frequently, you end up rebuilding the process every single time. You explain again what role Claude should take, what criteria to follow, what format you expect, what mistakes to avoid, and what a good result looks like. That works once, but it doesn't scale. That's the first major shift Claude Skills introduced. Here's what I got when I asked Claude to create a presentation, no skill enabled. Here's what I got when using Anthropic's brand guidelines skill with a slide deck builder skill with skills. You teach once and Claude follows your instructions every single time. To download the best Claude skills, read my guide below. We tried 100 Claude skills. These are the best. Note, skills is in beta for a small group of ChatGPT users, no Plus and Pro ChatGPT accounts lately. Claude has been running tasks on my computer while I sleep. How? With scheduled tasks. Here's how to create a scheduled task from scratch. Download Claude for desktop. Open the app and choose Calc. Click Scheduled in the left sidebar. Click Plus New Task. Fill in the details prompt, task name, etc. Click Save. Once saved, you'll see a confirmation like this. That's the most bar. Sick way to create scheduled tasks. Here's an example. I used to go to YouTube and manually search for videos on specific topics, part of my research step when writing. It was tedious, so I scheduled a task that runs at 3 a.m. and creates a filtered report of trending videos automatically. That alone saved me several hours. For more use cases, read my complete guide below. Claude Scheduled Tasks Complete Guide. ChatGPT also has tasks, but they're mostly for reminders and recurring prompts. In Calc, scheduled tasks feel closer to real work automation, files, reports, folders, desktop workflows, recurring tasks Claude keeps handling over time. Not every task needs you sitting in front of a screen. Some work can run later. Some can repeat every day. Claude can also move closer to where the work actually happens. Your work lives in documents, spreadsheets, emails, calendars, and the tools you use every day, not inside a conversation. If Claude can't get closer to that context, you end up doing the bridge work yourself. And that limits how much you can actually delegate. Connectors bring Claude closer to where your work actually lives. They bring Claude closer to your Google Drive documents, Gmail, calendars, etc. To install a connector, go to Calc, right arrow customize, right arrow connectors, right arrow plus, right arrow browse connectors, less manual searching, copying, and pasting before asking for help. Remember, skills tell Claude how to work. 6. From Ink and Threads, the only guide you need to romanticize your summer. Hi everyone, I hope this finds you well. I can't believe it's already June. This year has been flying by, and I have no doubt that the second half isn't going to slow down at all. To mark the beginning of summer, I thought it would be fun to put together a list of activities you can enjoy this season. This list is full of summer vibes and will hopefully inspire you to make the most of summer. This is at the top of the list because volunteering is not only fulfilling, but it also gives you the opportunity to give back to your community. Some places where you can volunteer include animal shelters, libraries, food banks, retirement homes, beach cleanups, and support groups, just to name a few. If you don't know where to start, think about something you're passionate about and begin searching for opportunities online. Picture this: you're laughing with your friends around the dinner table, listening to good music, and enjoying homemade pizzas, the dream. Making your own pizzas is such a fun activity and gives off the ultimate summer vibes. The entire process, from choosing and gathering ingredients to baking the pizzas in the oven, can be both fun and rewarding. In my opinion, the best part is that everything is completely customizable, something you wouldn't typically find at your local pizza place. Summer can be the perfect time to pick up a new hobby, especially a creative one. Some hobbies you could try include scrapbooking, making playlists on CDs, tie-dyeing shirts, crocheting, writing poetry, or taking photos with a film camera. There are so many hobbies to choose from, so explore and find one that sparks your interest. One of my favorite things to do is find a new coffee shop with, of course, good coffee, a relaxing ambience, and a great aesthetic. You can try new coffee orders, as many places specialize in different brewing styles and flavors. It can also be a fun way to discover a new spot where you can relax, whether you're spending time with friends, reading, or even working. I feel like there's nothing better than lounging by the pool, reading a good book, and sipping a refreshing summer beverage. Creating a fun, summery drink is a great way to try something new, and who knows, it might even become a yearly tradition. Try incorporating citrus fruits, berries, or classic summer flavors like lemonade. If you prefer a stronger drink, you can add alcohol, or you can keep it simple and alcohol-free. Either way, experimenting with different ingredients can lead you to discover a variety of delicious drinks. At Ink and Threads, we support the arts no matter the season. This summer, find an art exhibit that interests you and make plans to visit. Whether it's at your city's art museum or a local art show, attending an exhibit can be a great way to discover new artists from both your community and around the world. To find art exhibits near you, check online or stop by your local library. They often have flyers and event information available. For avid hikers, any season is a great season to hit the trails. However, summer is an especially wonderful time for easy, relaxing hikes and enjoying the outdoors. If you live near a national park, it can be a great place to explore. While many parks are free to enter, some may charge an entrance fee. Be sure to check ahead of time and remember that these fees help support the conservation and maintenance of our national parks. If you live somewhere with harsh winters, summer brings opportunities that simply aren't possible during the colder months, like enjoying meals outdoors. I personally love eating breakfast on the terrace. There's something so calming about hearing the birds chirp and feeling the warmth of the sun on my skin. It helps me start the day feeling relaxed while I enjoy something delicious. Breakfast isn't the only meal that can be enjoyed outside, though. Having snacks, lunch, or dinner outdoors is a great way to make the most of the season. Dinner can be especially enjoyable, as you can enjoy your meal while watching the sunset. This idea goes hand in hand with the last one about enjoying food outdoors, but there's just something special about a picnic. Whether you go by yourself or with friends and family, picnics can be a wonderful way to slow down and enjoy a summer day. While social media and movies often showcase elaborate picnic setups, yours doesn't have to be anything extravagant. Pack a few sandwiches, bring some snacks, or pick up takeout from your favorite spot. The most important part is spending time outdoors and enjoying good food, whether you're relaxing at a park, the beach, or by a lake. A summer blockbuster, I feel like it's a necessity for getting into the summer vibe. This is a great activity to enjoy with family or friends. 7th, from D-Line, side salad, smut happens. Good morning from D-Line's editor-in-chief, Bill McCool. Here's your daily side serving of design news, short musings, brand stuff, and forgotten ephemera. Ruddy recapped our best redesigns of the spring. One of them rhymes with greasy, or at least I hope I'm pronouncing it the right way. Make it make all the sense. Move licensing. PDX just did a scary movie edition of the PDX 4 with Ghostface on it, which is very stupid, but also very brilliant. The people have spoken, and they want smut. Love what Koto did for the Norton Museum of Art in West Palm Beach, not just because it's a Herculean task to elevate anything in Florida that has to do with culture, but because it dips into the museum's collection in such an organic way that speaks to the nature of curation. Hey, man. There's no climate change if you just eliminate the systems that monitor and track these things, right? Did you know that Schweppes is the oldest soft drink brand in the world? They're also our May Pack of the Month. Apologies that we don't have Cheesecake Centerfold spreads for this kind of affair. Someday, I really don't want the existential dread that comes with a Rothko weather report. Side note, I had a Rothko I cut out from an art history book that I hung in my college dorm room, and on more than one occasion, we'll call it two, someone remarked, Rothko, PFFFD. Pretentious liberal arts kids are often not very nice, and yours truly is just as guilty. That said, while I love the Emily Wilson translation, I think it's hilarious that every 20 pages or so, Odysseus has to go to yet another feast where the host has to once again figure out who he is after having been bathed by his slave women, doused in olive oil, eaten 3 racks of lamb and cons, yumed 3 gallons of wine. Fudgy the whale has once again washed up on shore for all of your ice cream cake needs. Dude, no one wants wings from McDonald's. Speaking of liberal arts colleges, I'm currently reading The Odyssey, which I haven't read since high school, and even then, I'm not sure I actually read the book. Does no one do introductions? What is this world? Anywho, I hope you have a nice day. Bill, 8th, from D-Line, side salad, et 2, Marty. Sherwin Williams has dubbed its least loved shade the loneliest color of the year, a muted green that the editor jokes he can get behind. He then turns to the Palm Bar, praising its critique of the protein-obsessed culture that pushes everyday foods into the realm of fitness supplements, and laments the toxic drive for constant self-optimization as a way to grasp control in a chaotic, overworked society. The piece drifts into a broader reflection on why people cling to gains and self-improvement when everything else feels out of control, suggesting it's a reaction to widespread dissatisfaction. A brief product review follows. Grillo's PBR is described as rank, best masked with pickled juice, while the Bureau Shandy line is noted for its pool-ready vibe. A quick industry note mentions the shutdown of Amazon's AI leaderboard, likely due to cheating, and a tongue-in-cheek reminder that Drake is a nerd. The editor also gives a shout-out to Mentor for producing solid label work. Finally, the writer critiques the rise of upscale grocery concepts like Iruhan, calling them overpriced status symbols that probably won't survive beyond 5 years, and ends by inviting readers to share packaging projects that caught their eye. Ninth, From the Last Layer by Colin King. Tiny things I do that make a room feel alive. I was with a friend recently who is one of those infuriatingly talented people who can think about furniture, lighting, interiors, and architecture all at once without appearing to break a sweat. I was showing her a scouting presentation on my phone for a project that was still very much in progress. Art leaning on the floor, objects migrating from one surface to another. Lamps wandering around looking for purpose. My poor bedroom chair had already traveled through 3 rooms that week and was showing no signs of settling down, the design equivalent of trying on outfits before dinner and rejecting all of them. She looked around for a moment and said, "You're such a good stylist." What made me laugh was that the room wasn't finished. If anything, it felt halfway between an idea and a room, but I knew exactly what she meant. She wasn't responding to the objects themselves. She was responding to the relationships between them. I've been thinking about that ever since because most people assume styling is about knowing what to buy. A better lamp. A more interesting bowl, a vintage object from a flea market in Belgium that somehow promises to solve all of your emotional problems. I wish this were true. It would make my job considerably easier. The longer I do this work, the less I think styling is about acquiring beautiful things and the more I think it's about assigning importance. A room is full of negotiations. What deserves attention? What deserves space? What needs company? What needs restraint? What belongs together? What doesn't? After 8 years of styling professionally, and considerably longer rearranging my own furniture instead of addressing more pressing matters, I've accumulated a collection of habits that sound increasingly irrational when described out loud. The strange thing is that they work. One of them is placing a textile underneath objects that have absolutely no practical need for a textile, not folded, just laid flat, more like a mat than a napkin, a bowl, a lamp, a stone, a box, a weird egg, sometimes a shell, a leaf, a branch, or some other piece of ephemera if I've really committed to the storyline. I started doing this years ago and couldn't fully explain why. I just knew I liked what happened. It's similar to what happens in a beautiful hotel bathroom when all of your toiletries are arranged neatly on a small towel beside the sink. Nothing about the toothpaste has improved. The towel has simply convinced you that your toothpaste deserves dignity. The textile creates a small ceremony. Suddenly the object feels acknowledged. The surface feels acknowledged too. A relationship appears where there wasn't one before. The bowl isn't simply sitting on a table anymore. The table isn't merely supporting the bowl. They're participating in the same idea. I realize this sounds like the sort of conclusion a person arrives at after spending too much time alone with decorative objects. That is because it is. But I also think it's true. The object itself hasn't changed. It's still the same bowl, the same lamp, the same stone I picked up somewhere and have now assigned far more emotional significance than is reasonable. Yet the room changes completely. It feels more intentional, more settled, less like storage and more like a decision. I've become equally attached to leaving a pitcher of water and a few glasses out before guests arrive. Not because I imagine everyone entering my apartment desperately dehydrated. The water itself is almost beside the point. What I love is what it communicates. That somebody was expected. That another person was considered before they arrived. It's also a wonderful excuse to buy that vintage Murano pitcher you found in Venice. A carafe is one of the easiest ways to introduce color and personality into a room without making a huge commitment. It can live on a bedside table, a coffee table, a console, or a bar cart. It can be there for guests or for you. Hospitality doesn't always need an audience. Hospitality, at least the version I respond to most, isn't really about impressing people. It's about creating evidence of thought. A room changes when it appears to have anticipated company. Even if nobody touches the water all evening, it has already done its job. Flowers are another area where I consistently ignore common sense. I almost always put them in vessels that are slightly too small. I know. Somewhere a florist is reading this and taking a long, steadying breath. but flowers that are a little crowded feel gathered to me. They feel connected, like they arrived together and have something to discuss. Flowers in oversized vases sometimes feel like strangers standing too far apart at a dinner party, politely waiting for someone to introduce them. The opposite is true too. Flowers can be too small for a vase, too tall, too short. The relationship matters more than the flower itself. 10th, from Storyflow listener sends. Breaking inside impulse space W/Tom Mueller full tour. SpaceX employee #1 founder and CEO of Impulse Space. SpaceX's #1 employee built the Merlin engine. Now building Impulse Space. Tom Mueller, founder, CEO and CTO of Impulse Space. Actor employee #1 at SpaceX gives Sorcery a walkthrough of the company's Redondo Beach factory, from the avionics clean room to a live rocket engine firing in the vacuum chamber. As SpaceX's founding employee, Tom led development of the engines for Falcon and Dragon and started the origins of what became Starship. His proudest project, the Merlin engine, still flies Falcon 9. In this episode, he explains why he left to build the next layer of space infrastructure, moving payloads and cargo around once they're in orbit. We tour Mira, the company's precision maneuvering spacecraft, Helios, the vehicle bringing same-day delivery to space, and the Deneb engine, and get into how Impulse designs and builds extreme vertical integration, 3D printed engines, in-house composite tanks, and a build, test, iterate loop. Tom also shares where he thinks the industry is heading on nuclear electric propulsion, data centers in space, the return to the moon, and what it was like to work with Elon Musk. Time's out. 000 Tom Mueller, founder, CEO and CTO of Impulse Space. 049 inside Impulse Space. 232 avionics bay floor. 259 building rockets at home. 350 Mira and Helios. 800 why he left SpaceX. 933 the Deneb engine walkthrough. 1142 testing in Mojave. 1223 favorite P. Art of the engine. 1330 how it's 3D printed. 1421 why 3D printing changes everything. 1654 finding talent for COPS. 1728 no modern hardware without software. 1952 the mill turn explained. 2242 payload deck design. 2528 entering the secret area. 3048 thrust, flow rate, and 100 sensors. 3213 collision avoidance in orbit. 3257 the electric propulsion chamber. 3428 nuclear electric is the future. 3849 data centers in space. 4028 SpaceX and Starlink's growth. 4110 working with Elon. 4207 if not CEO, then what? 4232 moon matters more than Mars. Brought to you by Turing partners with Frontier AI Labs to improve model capabilities in coding, reasoning, tool use, and multimodality, as well as with Fortune 500 enterprises to build and deploy end-to-end agentic AI systems in mission-critical workflows. Visit Turing.com/sorcery. DealDeal is the global people platform that helps startups hire, manage, pay, and equip anyone, anywhere. Trusted by more than 35,000 fast-growing companies, Deal is the people platform that just works so teams can scale without the chaos. Visit deal.com/sorcery. Public investing platform. Public just launched Generated Assets, which lets you turn any idea into an investable index with AI. With Generated Assets, you can build, Baptist, refine, and invest in any thesis with AI. Gone are the days of one-size-fits-all ETFs. Try it today. public.com/sorcery. Inside Impulse Space with Tom Mueller. Engines, spacecraft, and the case for moving things in orbit. Tom Mueller, founder, CEO, and CTO of Impulse Space, walked Sorcery through the company's Redondo Beach factory, from the avionics clean room to a live engine firing in a vacuum chamber. Along the way, he covered his SpaceX origins, the spacecraft and engines Impulse is building, how the company designs and manufactures hardware, and where he thinks propulsion and compute are headed. From Merlin to Impulse, Mueller's career runs through the heart of modern rocketry. As the first, yes, very first, employee at SpaceX, he led development of the propulsion systems for Falcon and Dragon and started the origins of what became Starship, which he worked on for his last 6 years at the company. The engine he is proudest of still flies today. My proudest development was the Merlin engine, which is currently flying on Falcon 9, the most reliable rocket engine ever developed, and also the highest thrust to weight of any rocket engine ever developed. Mueller was a well-established rocket engineer before beginning his tenure at SpaceX, but it was an amateur rocket project that brought him and Elon Musk together. Today, Mueller continues to push the limits of rocketry outside work hours, building rocket engines in his garage just to get some pre-production data on things Impulse is working on. The thesis behind leaving SpaceX was simple. Launch mostly being solved or is being solved. It's like the next big opportunity is to move all that payload, all that cargo around in space. Impulse exists to do in space transportation rather than Earth-to-space transportation, a category he believes extends all the way to the moon, including L. And as the company is bidding on, with launch largely solved, Mueller saw the next opportunity one step further out. Mira, the precision maneuvering spacecraft. That's the tech backlog edit.